And I'll turn it over now to Judge Stephen Jarr for the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you, Chief, and good afternoon, Council members. As is always the case in your materials, there is a written report essentially summarizes all the activities by or on behalf of the Administrative Office of the Courts on behalf of the Council. I briefly note a few of those items. As the Chief indicated, we have begun our formal budget advocacy in the legislature this month. Both the Senate Budget Subcommittee associated with our branch and the Assembly Budget Subcommittee conducted their initial hearings. The Assembly discussion agenda was limited to two items, effectively leaving open the balance of the judicial branch budget for later consideration. Those two items were the proposed $33.1 million enhancement in the Dependency Council budget that was drawn from the Chief Justice's budget blueprint, and also a staff proposal for a $20 million grant program relative to collaborative courts. Both items were approved. We, of course, supported the Dependency Council component and likewise supported strongly collaborative courts as effective tools to reduce recidivism, obviously save costs in the process, and work positive social change, though we ask that the funding processes associated with them be left to the discretion of the trial courts, each of which, of course, has unique challenges facing it. We have, of course, trial courts, for example, with self-help centers that are inadequately staffed to provide assistance, shall we say, for example, to individuals for whom English is not a first language. In those circumstances, the trial court should have the discretion to determine where those dollars go in comparison with the substantial needs that are filled by collaborative courts, for example, mental health courts. I should say, too, that at the Senate Budget Subcommittee hearing, a broader agenda relative to trial court funding or the trial court component of our budget was addressed. As was the case with the Assembly Subcommittee, consent agenda items relative to our capital programs were all approved. And with respect to the balance of the budget after the conversation in the Senate hearing, all matters remained open. I should emphasize that in connection with each of those hearings, there were 30 to 40, I would estimate, judicial branch stakeholders who spoke when the time for public comment arose. There was an enormous and interesting uniformity, and a happy uniformity, in the comments that were made, whether they came from judges, presiding judges, court executive officers, court reporters, processing staff, courtroom clerks, and obviously stakeholders, customers, and users in the system. Each in his or her own way, from his or her own perspective, underscored the absolute need for reinvestment in our branch. And repeatedly I heard in the two hearings reference to and a request for endorsement of the Chief's budget blueprint. We were able to underscore in the Senate hearing that we've answered the legislatively posed question, what do you need to have a fully functioning branch? With the WAFM progress that we had this last year, the Chief's budget blueprint was able to be constructed. When asked about the barriers to access that budget reductions have caused, we were able to point once again to this year's iteration of the individual court-by-court budget snapshots that were so helpful to us last year in illustrating for individual legislators what was actually occurring on the ground in their districts, in their courts. We were also asked to provide an illustration of what kind of restoration of access could be accomplished by various increments of funding. Before you today is a just-produced document that we provided to the members of both of those subcommittees, which essentially responds to that question. We surveyed the trial courts and asked them to forecast what things would look like in fiscal 14-15 were the governor's present $100 million for the trial court augmentation proposal to become the budget, as compared with $356 million, which was drawn from the overall first year $612 million in the budget blueprint, less items associated with judicial salaries, dependency, and the like. I think that you will see the compilation that our Office of Governmental Affairs put together, it presents a stark contrast.
You are the only participant in the conference. Please.
Must have been something I said. At any rate, I invite your attention to that document, which I think is ample illustration of the virtue of the budget blueprint request that has been advanced by the chief. We received, I believe, strong support in both of those venues. Senator Hancock especially evidenced strong support for reinvestment in our branch. I also would like to thank the Superior Courts, because I know it's easy to overlook the fact that when surveys are sent out, be they for the preparation of snapshots or be they for the response to surveys that give rise to a compilation like this, it is enormously time-consuming and very difficult for them to pull away from their regular duties, and we're ever grateful for the fine assistance that we received in that regard. We have no follow-up hearings that involve the judicial branch budget before the May revise. Originally, there had been hearings set that involved us, but those have been pushed off. I think that at this juncture, all eyes are on revenue projections and the governor's May revision. Our dialogue, of course, as the chief indicated, continues in the meantime with the executive branch and the legislature. The balance of the budget-related materials are contained in the report. Joint Legislative Audit Committee commissioned a performance audit of the Judicial Council and the Administrative Office. The chief designated Judge O'Malley on behalf of the council and Justice O'Leary, who is vice chair of the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for our branch, to represent the council with the California State Auditor's Office, which has been tasked with conducting the audit. Both attended the entrance meeting with the California State Auditor. We at the AOC have tendered our full cooperation and are providing our full cooperation in that auditing process. A final report is expected late fall. A couple of technology highlights I think are worth mentioning and bringing to special attention. Our Information Technology Services Office, since the last council meeting, initiated 17 projects, or I should say projects in 17 Superior Courts to replace outdated software and hardware necessary to support computing and telecommunication services in the branch. This is a phased project, and they will complete updates for all 58 trial courts by July of 2015. Separately, our Trial Court Administrative Services Office, TCAS, which, as you know, is responsible for our Phoenix financial program, in which all financial services for trial courts are handled, general ledger, accounts payable, receivable, trust, treasury, the issuance of checks, millions of transactions involving billions of dollars annually are operated by that program successfully, courtesy of TCAS and with Kurt Soderlund's oversight. There is also a human resources module that many of you are aware of, or a payroll module to Phoenix. It is currently deployed in 8 courts and supports the payroll for over 3,000 trial court employees. Most recently, the Superior Court in Yuba County was an adopter, and their first payroll through Phoenix HR will be run in May. In addition, the Alameda County Superior Court, the Lassen County Superior Court, and the Tehama County Superior Courts have sought to explore options for the adoption of Phoenix HR in each instance for payroll. In each instance, their respective counties are indicating plans that they might no longer provide that service for court employees. Since our most recent council meeting, committee staff have facilitated meetings of more than 18 Judicial Council advisory groups. On the education side, since the last council meeting, 20 live education programs were also conducted. The balance and summary of those activities once again contained in the reports. On the business process reengineering front, as you may recall, last year the administrative office worked with the joint working group of Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee as well as the Court Executives Advisory Committee in developing an excellent workshop to assist courts in reengineering their business processes to achieve greater efficiencies. In the last year, 7 workshops in business process reengineering have been conducted for court employees with the great team of Kim Turner and Teresa Risi, the executive officers of Marin and Monterey Superior Courts, respectively, and the excellent work of AOC's Special Project Office Manager, Maureen DeMoss. The workshops have been well received. There are plans for more in the fall. It is yet another example of how courts up and down our state are finding ways to increase efficiency and effectiveness of their operations even with reduced resources. I'd also like to recognize one of our employees today who was honored at last month's Self-Help and Family Law Conference. AOC Senior Attorney Deborah Chase was awarded the Joint Award of Merit from the California Commission on Access to Justice and the Legal Aid Association of California in recognition of her work assisting the courts in serving self-represented litigants. Deborah is here, and I think she's here to meet us. Congratulations, Deborah.
Thank you.
Finally, today is the last day of the three-day International Summit on Community Justice, which is being held right here at Judicial Council's headquarters. I had the opportunity to welcome the participants on the Wednesday morning session. They hail from around our country and the world, actually, and are enthused about California's innovative community and collaborative justice programs and the benefits they provide to society. The summit, jointly sponsored by the Council, the Center for Court Innovation, the United States Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Assistance, brought together judges, prosecutors, defense attorneys, probation officials, court administrators, law enforcement, clinical staff, and nonprofit organizations, importantly, to discuss and exchange information on best practices in procedural justice, risk needs assessments, alternative sanctions, and community restitution. It's an excellent program, and we were very honored and pleased that it was cited here at our office. I should mention that one of the speakers was Michael Botticelli, who is the acting director of the White House's Office of National Drug Control Policy. Diane Nunn, who is also here present, arranged kindly a meeting between Mr. Botticelli, myself, and Shelley Curran, as well as, of course, Diane. And we had, I think, a constructive session, and we'll follow up with his office on mutually beneficial approaches to reducing recidivism. Finally, a news flash. This does not appear in your report. We just learned this morning that the bonds to build the Stockton Courthouse have gone to successful sale. A true interest cost of 4.096%, which is within our projected estimates, occurred. And I would like at this time to thank the Judicial Branch Capital Programs folks and our Legal Services Office for their excellent work in arranging the financing for that very significant project. And, Chief, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Judge Jarre. Thank you. I see no hands raised.